Very tall, large, very fit, constantly wrapped in thought of Krishna, knowing well of his imminent death, renounced all sorts of fruitive activities, namely acts of religion, economic development, and self-gratification, and thus fixed himself firmly in his natural love for Krishna, and asked all these questions exactly as you are asking me. Purpose. The three activities of religion, economic development, and self-gratification are generally attractive for conditioned souls struggling for existence in the material world. Such regulated activities prescribed in the Vedas are called the karma kandika conception of life. Householders are generally recommended to follow the rules just to enjoy material prosperity both in this life and in the next. Most people are attracted by such activities, even in the activities of the modern gorgeous civilization. People are more concerned with economic development and self-gratification without any religious sentiments. As a great emperor of the world, Maharaj Parikshit had observed such regulations of the very Kandiya section, but by his slight association with Shrivadeva Goswami, he could perfectly understand that Lord Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead Vasudeva, for whom he had natural love since his birth, is everything, and thus he fixed his mind firmly upon him, renouncing all modes of Vedic karma kandiya activity. This affectionate stage is attained by a jnani after many, many births. The jnanis, or the incorrect philosophers, endeavoring for liberation, are thousands of times better than the fruited workers. And out of hundreds of thousands of such jnanis, one is liberated factually. And out of hundreds of thousands of such liberated persons, even one person is rarely found who can firmly fix his mind under the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna, as declared by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita.
Lord John.
شاگران وصلاب کشنگ در افتاد از این شکش بکن describing how everybody was fully surrendered to fears. Lord Krishna, who is the lover of many devotees, may embrace this fully surrendered maid servant, or may trample me with his feet, or he may render me broken hearted by not being present before me for a long duration of time. But still he is nothing less than the absolute Lord of my heart. And Srila Rupa Goswami spoke that on this very nice verse of surrender. O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have no one to look to except your Lordship. The Tathagata verse always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rain or throws a thunderbolt. It's a nice comparison. Just like a bird always goes right into the cloud and drink water from the cloud, even in a stormy and thundery. The same way the body has no one else to look for than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if there's a lot of thunder coming from that direction. So nice. Srila Madhavendra Puri, the grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, took leave of all karma kandriya obligations in the following verse. You know, karma kandriya's activities for your own private or personal enjoyment, Madhavendra Puri. He said, O my evening prayer, all good unto you. O my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all reactions. So since simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere, the great descendant of Yadu, the great enemy of Hunks, I think that this is sufficient for me. So what is the use of further endeavor? Srila Madhavendra Puri said further, sometimes when a devotee surrenders himself so entirely to Krishna, people may criticize him. So here comes the critic now. The Madhavendra Puri says, let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusion. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me traitors. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy may point me out as mad, and the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too proud. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I be unable to do it. And also Prahlad Maharaj said, so many Mahajans are now expressing their surrender to Krishna. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification are celebrated as three means of attaining the path of salvation. Of those, each of the especially knowledge of the self, knowledge of fruitive acts and logic, and of the politics and economics, are different means of livelihood. All these are different subjects of education, and therefore I consider them temporary engagements. On the other hand, again, surrendering unto the supreme official that affects your gain in life. And I consider it the ultimate truth. The whole matter is concluded in the Bhagavad Gita as Vyayatayasmika Buddhi, on the essence of perfection. Sri Baladev Vidyabhushana, a great Vaishnava scholar, defines this as Bhagavad Achara Rupaika Nishkarmakandhiya Vishuddhachita. Accepting to accept the loving service of the Lord as a prime duty free from fruitive reaction. So Maharaj Parikshit was perfectly right when he firmly accepted the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, renouncing all karma kandhiya conceptions of life.
Glorious example, we might get a little bit more detail.
determination on our own path, Krishna consciousness. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appears, it became very quickly clear that he is a very empowered devotee of the Supreme Personality. And Prabhupada describes a little bit about this. He first of all, in one lecture, describes this very extraordinary appearance. Please listen to this. Cause. What is this cause?
Ooh.
done a great wrong thing. You have taken the mango of the day before offering him. It's a great offense. The child took it very serious. My Guru Maharaj never took mango throughout his whole life. Whenever mango was offered, he would say, "Oh, I know, I'm a offender. I cannot take that." You see? So this is something which is, I find, very, very extraordinary. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remembers in his age she had done. He was 3 to 4 years old and was always feel it is appropriate. He felt sorry for this. And therefore made a personal vow to never take a mango in his life. Spiritual life becomes something substantial when a devotee begins to take a vow. When he begins to see something as a mission, when he begins to do something, no matter what happens. This is a great secret in spiritual life. When you begin to become determined to put your spiritual knowledge into your life, and always do it, then your whole life can change to the better. If you don't do this, you will have to wait for a long time before spiritual realization comes into your own life. I personally don't think that for any one of us it's possible to have such a determination, especially when you know mangoes. Mangoes are very, in Germany we don't know. Mangoes, they are not for tasting, but the real mangoes boom. So just get up to eat them because of such a mistake. I don't know if we have anyone in our midst with such a determination, such a spontaneous feeling of renunciation. I can't believe it actually. But the point is clear, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. From its beginning. When we see that we have a realization in Krishna consciousness, he had this realization, so we never eat the mango again. But we have some realization, some small realization, some big realization. We have to be careful to always integrate it in our lives, to not let it run by and then live in a compromise. That is a very good. There are many things to be discussed about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I just want to go briefly through his contributions, what he did in his life as a preacher, and then come to a very nice point which I really think is very good if we want to gain some benefit out of this day. First of all, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was famous for his powerful preaching against casteism in Sahajiya and also Maya. Therefore, he was known as the Simha Guru, the Lion Guru, because he would always oppose the mistakes of the times which were then there, this casteism and so on. Yes. That's one very outstanding quality. I think we have heard when he saw a Mayavadi passing on one side of the road, he would walk over to him and grab him and say, "Why are you saying that the Lord has no hands, no eyes, no feet?" And I think he repeated, Avedacharya said, whenever the scriptures say the Lord has no hands, no feet, and no eyes, then the next sentence they say, he walks, he talks, he sees, and so on and so forth. So in this way, the scriptures may say, the scripture's point is he has no material eyes, no material legs, no material things, but he has spiritual vision, spiritual abilities to talk, and therefore is a person. I think you understand this point. Then the next point is, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur unified the four sampradayas, that is, the teachings of each sampradaya. He took up the main teachings and showed how this is there in the Gaudiya Vaishnava teaching. Therefore, when you visit this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mayapur, you see the four corners of that Gandharika Giri Hari Mandir, the Sampradaya Acharyas. I wish I could tell you what those teachings are, but oh, Krishna, my memory is not so good any longer. Service of the Vaishnava. One very important teaching of Nimbaka is about the qualification of. He took from each sampradaya two main teachings.
Diorama and display. I think you know
that he was a very bold preacher and brought, for instance, he bought two big steamships and made a display on top of them, so that the people of Calcutta, they met, millions of people met to see the display, also to see the steamship, and so on. Then he organized a large parikrama, another sweet parikrama. It was not easy at that time because he accepted so many non-brahmanas, and the shop owners of Vrindavan, they influenced by the caste of Swami to not give them food. 20,000 people on the parikrama, no food. It's very intense that you are alone. You can just come out of them, bring down, drinking the water, and eating some vegetables which grow on trees. No problem, but 10,000 people that need food. In his time, because he broke the stronghold of casteism over India. Therefore, there was sometimes heavy reaction. I remember having heard how once on Vandavati Parikrama, the caste of Swamis had organized a band of assassinators. And his dear disciple, Keshava at that time, Keshava Maharaj, he went to Siddhanta Saraswati and said, Guru Maharaj, if you don't do something, this gang of gangsters will kill you. I have an idea. I'm the son of the Savindra. I can ride on a swift horse. You take now this Gurkhasta dress, and I will take you some best dress. And then Keshava Maharaj. At that time, he was not Sandas. He jumped on a horse, and you know, he went to the horse right through this mob of people, 50 people who wanted to kill that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is well known for his sentence or instruction that we should control our minds in spiritual life. My Guru Maharaj, says Prabhupada, used to say that just after on his rhythm, one should beat his mind with a shoe 100 times. Then while going to sleep, one should take a broomstick and then strike the mind another 100 times. If you follow the process of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, naturally he will help you in controlling the mind and bestow all of his blessings upon him. Now, when a modern outcreator devotee hears this, he becomes frustrated. No, no, we should listen to the mind. We should not kick it with a shoe and a broomstick. This will be very bad for our development. We will become defeated someday. It will be very bad for us. But a devotee who is spiritually very sincere, he understands that his mind is not all separate from him. His mind is full of material dirt and garbage which he has and she has picked up since many lifetimes and which totally condition us. It's not good to be under the control of the material mind. And this must be stopped for anyone serious in spiritual life. The way to understand why we should act so harshly with our mind is given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in a song which he often used to sing. This song, I want to, my voice is not very good, and I'm not so good with melodies, but I want to say it to you in English. I am an impious sinner and have caused others great anxiety and trouble. I think you know you also were impious sinners and have caused others great anxiety and trouble. My devotee understands, oh, I am such a troublemaker. I have never hesitated to perform sinful acts for my own enjoyment. Devoid of all compassion, concerned only with my own selfish interest, I am remorseful, that means unhappy, seeing others happy. I am a perpetual liar, and the misery of others is a form of great pleasure for me. This is us. Don't think this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's problem. This is us, our problem. The material desires in my heart are unlimited. I am wrathful, astonished, devoted to false pride and arrogance, intoxicated by vanity, idle kind, and bewildered by worldly affairs. Envy and egotism are the ornaments I wear. Our Master's beautiful ornaments on the ears and the nose. Some fingers. But here, the ornaments are called envy and egotism. These are the ornaments of the conditioned soul. Ruined by laziness and sleep, I resist all pious deeds, like getting up early in the morning now, too sleepy and lazy. Yet I am very active and enthusiastic to perform wicked acts for worldly fame and reputation. I engage in the practice of deceitfulness, that I am destroyed by my own greed. I am always lustful. A vile, wicked man such as this, rejected by godly people, is a constant offender. I am such a person, devoid of all good works, forever inclined towards evil, worn out and wasted by various miseries. So when the devotee sees this conditioned side of it, he becomes very enthusiastic. See, a materialist is afraid to be criticized or criticize himself, but a devotee, when he exercises a little self-criticism, he becomes enthusiastic because he understands, this is what I want to say goodbye to. This is what I want to renounce. This is what I want to give up. And my desire to get to the lotus feet of Krishna becomes stronger if I meditate about how this is my only possibility in life. And the last end of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's existence, Srila Prabhupada wrote him a letter. And I think this letter expresses so nicely Prabhupada's dedication. I wrote, "Oh Guru Maharaj, you have got many disciples. I am also one of them. But they are doing direct service to you. Some of them are brahmacharis, some of them are sannyasis. While I am a householder, I cannot." Of course, I was giving some monetary help, some donations, but I could not give any direct service. So I asked them, "Is there any particular service I can do for you?" And then, 40 days before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur disappeared, the letter came. He wrote a letter. And in this letter, he repeated the same instruction which he had given in the year 1922. "You try to preach whatever you have learned from me to the English knowing people in English. That will do good to you and to the people to whom you shall preach. That is my instruction." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. On this divine appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, let us pray to him to give us a little drop of determination so that we can also say goodbye to our mind's bad qualities. Minds can be friends, good qualities. Don't give up the mind altogether and become mindless. No, you give up the bad qualities which make so much trouble in our own spiritual life. And let us pray to become like the surrendered servant of the Sampradaya, and so that we can do something which is good for others and for us also. These appearance days are very good for spiritual development. Therefore, we are chanting 25 rounds. Let me think of our best qualities. I'm so discouraged. Let me think we can never leave them and be always tired. It's a fact that if you only think about your best qualities, then this is called a negative projection. It can be very dangerous for you, for your personal growth. Therefore, see, there are there are 10 different ways of Vaishnava prayer. And often these different methods appear in one prayer. If you, for instance, look at the work of Narottama Thakur, the he goes through all these different sorts of prayers. Now, one prayer is called Daniya. Daniya means to have a humble assessment about your present state. And in this category of prayer, Vaishnava is often found to analyze himself or herself very closely as far as best qualities are concerned. All our great acharyas have these Daniya prayers. There is not even one good quality in me, and so on and so forth. They will say like this. Krishna Das Kaviraj said, if anyone should chant or say my name, this is so infectious, my name, that he loses all the good qualities. He saw this. So was the day discussed with this time. But then, all these prayers, then there is another prayer category called Ashavanda. Ashavanda means a devotee really hopes for Krishna's mercy. But in Dhruva Goswami, he does this prayer, incredible prayer. He says, I am not born in a good family. I have not the qualities of a devotee naturally in me. I am more attracted to material than the spiritual activity. Me, Jesus, that's the magician. But I have one hope, and this hope, you know, then he describes this hope. So when you are thinking about your best qualities, Ashurali, don't just think about only your best qualities. Think about the hope that you have, the chance that you have to come back home, back to God in this lifetime. If you don't think about the chance, but only about your bad qualities, you might come on the material platform. You might think about enviousness, love, arrogance, whatever it is. I don't know about your particular private set of bad qualities is. Think about the hope and the possibilities which are there. Do you know one thing, Manjulal? Do you know what sustains my life? It's the quality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he doesn't look for his quality, but he is just vulnerable to anyone who chants. Lord Chaitanya takes extra special pleasure in saving the most poor. He's patita. So when you begin to think about this, then you can dance with joy, isn't it? Because then all of a sudden your disqualification becomes your righteous qualification. Like, that's how the standard is. You are known as the savior of the most fallen, but I am most fallen. So I am the first one. I am qualified in the first place.
Hare Krishna.
Who you call? Let me tell you. Sometimes we all need to think a little bit what the discussion in our world. It may change sometimes. So on the right way, so. Gradual process. Good. May I have another slide for us? Now come to the end of our little class. Are you sure of it?